The Good Christian, or Sermons on the Chief Christian Virtues, by Father Francis Hunold. Translated from the original German edition of Cologne, 1740, by Father J. Allen. Imprimatur, Bishop James D. Ricards, copyright 1891. On the peace of heart that comes from a good conscience, preached on the first Sunday after Epiphany. Behold, thy Father and I have sought thee sorrowing. St. Luke chapter 2, verse 48. Introduction. And could such holy people be troubled and sad at heart? Mary and Joseph, whose souls were so enlightened and so united to the will of God, were they oppressed with sadness and anguish of mind? Thy Father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Yes, truly. But they had good reason for it. They had lost Jesus, the divine child. Had they not then cause to be troubled? The loss of Jesus was the only thing on earth that could disturb the peace of their hearts. My dear brethren, we are daily disturbed and uneasy at heart. Why? Is it because we have lost Jesus? Ah, if that were the reason of the sighs and tears of sinners, they would soon find peace again. But that is not generally the cause of our trouble. We must seek for it elsewhere. What is it, then? We have now so many trials and calamities to contend with. Sickness threatens our health and life. Wars deprive us of our goods and the usual means of subsistence. Manifold troubles make life bitter to us. Ah, if I could now say to you with truth, be comforted, rejoice, we have nothing to fear. We shall be left in peace, and all that before threatened us shall be removed. Tranquility shall be restored. Would not that be good news for you? No, I am not wanting in good wishes, at least in your regard. And if you do your part, then you will experience in reality and attain that which will bring us most certainly to the enjoyment of peace. Plan of Discourse. Therefore, at the beginning of the new year, I wish myself and all of you, from my heart, a constant peace of mind. What a beautiful and consoling good this peace is, and how we must seek and find it, I shall explain in the first part. My repeated wish in the second part shall be for this peace to remain with us in all circumstances. Peace be to you, is the compendium of the whole sermon. Do thou grant it to us by thy grace, Christ Jesus, author and giver of true peace. We beg it of thee through the intercession of Mary thy mother and of our holy guardian angels. Yes, you think. But what is the good of your wishes? If wishing and desiring were of any avail, then we should have had peace long ago. In fact, there would never have been any war. God help us. We know too well what war is and what it leaves behind. Too often have we had to learn that sad lesson. We all wish for peace, and seek it, and desire it. But vain are all our sighs and wishes and longings, as well as the means we use to realize them. We call out, peace, peace, and there was no peace. We still suffer from the calamities of war. Thus you wish us a blessing that neither you can give us, nor we with all our efforts can obtain. What you say is quite true, my dear brethren, if you mean every kind of peace. But what I wish you is the peace of the heart, peace with yourselves, peace every man can have. Even in the midst of the horrors of war, and it consists in this, that no matter what troubles, crosses, or trials come to us from exterior sources, we still keep the heart quiet and tranquil. This is what the angels announced at the birth of our Lord. and on earth peace to men of goodwill. This is the peace that Christ left to his servants when he was sending forth his disciples as lambs in the midst of ravening wolves. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. It is the peace that St. Paul wishes the Philippians, and the peace of God which surpasseth all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a beautiful good to have peace with oneself, to be always and unchangeably contented and satisfied at heart. That is the best, nay, the only true good that man can enjoy on this earth. There is no pleasure above the joy of the heart, says the wise Ecclesiasticus. And in truth, how would it help me to happiness to have all the goods of the world if I were discontented at heart? And how could it make me unhappy to be the poorest of men if I am peaceful and contented at heart? Therefore, whenever the Holy Scriptures speak of peace, they always assign the heart as its true dwelling place. Thus Anna in her canticle says, "My heart hath rejoiced." And Ecclesiasticus, "My heart delighted." And the prophet David, "Thou hast given gladness to my heart." The joy itself of the elect consists in inward joy and peace of heart, as the prophet Isaiah says, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring upon her as it were a river of peace, and as an overflowing torrent." "I'll acknowledge," says St. Augustine, "that all men seek and desire this peace. As there is no one who does not wish to rejoice, so there is no one that does not wish to have peace." That is, there is no one who does not wish to be contented, pleased, and satisfied at heart. Ask the soldier in the midst of the battle, the peasant in the field, the tradesman in his workshop, the merchant on his journeys by sea and land, what they seek by their labor, and they will all answer, contentment and peace of heart. That is the object of all my thoughts, desires, and cares. If I were not so poor, say some, if I were as rich as those others, I should be contented. If I were in as high a position, think others, as such and such a one, I should be contented. If there were nothing to prevent me from enjoying the love of that creature, I should be contented. My good people, you are wrong from the very start. O ye sons of men, I may well exclaim with the prophet David, how long will you be dull of heart? Why do you love vanity and seek after lying? Peace is not to be found where you are looking for it. The goods that you seek are external to yourselves. They cannot touch the heart or satisfy it interiorly. Get possession of all the riches and honors and pleasures of earth. What will they do to you if you have to lie sick in bed? Will they give you peace? No. And why not? Because health, which is an interior good, is wanting to you. Without it, all outward things cannot bring you contentment. When you say, writes St. Augustine, I wish to live happily, you desire a good thing, but you cannot have it here. When St. Marclovius was a youth, he was singularly deceived in that matter. He had heard that there was somewhere on earth a fortunate island in which no one had to work or to suffer trials or contradictions. He believed the story to be true and embarked in a ship to find the island. He came to one where he found a number of people with pale and haggard countenances. The air, he thought, must be very unhealthy here. This cannot be the place I'm looking for. He sailed farther and came to another island, where he saw that the inhabitants were all healthy and strong of body, but they were clad in rags. There is good here, he thought, but the poverty of the place is great. This is not the happy island." He went on further and came to one that was full of riches. But hardly had he set foot on shore when he beheld the inhabitants fighting with one another so fiercely that they were wounded and some lost their lives. "Truly," he thought, "there is wealth enough here, but at the same time there is too much fighting and contention. This is not the happy island." 7 years did he spend in his search, but in one place he found too much heat, in another piercing cold, in a third fearful earthquakes, in a fourth terrible storms. In one place he saw blind people, in another cripples, everywhere sick and dead. Finally, after the lapse of 7 years, his eyes were opened, and he saw that there is no place on earth where perfect peace and happiness can be found. Therefore, he resolved to leave all earthly things, to enter religion, by serving God zealously, to seek true, heavenly, and eternal happiness, a resolution that he actually carried into effect. So it is, to no purpose do you seek in the world which you cannot find in it, nor expect from it. You place your happiness in earthly things, and say to yourself, "In that town a man can make a fortune and attain an honorable position and lead an easy, comfortable life. There one can have no difficulty in getting on in the world." But go in thought to that very town and see how things are there, and you will find a number of disappointed hopes, of heartbreaking failures. You will see who were formerly the greatest of the land now plunged into the depths of misery. You will find wretchedness, suffering, and sickness, even amongst those who are best off. You will see that neither honors nor riches can free men from trouble, persecution, danger, discomfort, and death. In all places, you will come across rich and great men who lead very unhappy lives. It is true that the world esteems happy those who have abundance of its goods and can live in magnificent style. They have called the people happy that have these things. But they say not the truth, says the Lord. O my people, they that call thee blessed, the same deceive thee and destroy the way of thy steps. Thus you only lose your time and labor in following up a shadow instead of seeking the only true, supreme happiness, which you will certainly not find here. You betray yourself and all those who pronounce you happy in the possession of worldly goods betray you also. No, quite different is the happiness you must seek in order to enjoy true peace. Nothing can fully satisfy the heart and mind but a genuine and permanent good, and it must be one that can content all the desires of the heart. But the honors, riches, and pledges of the world are not goods of that kind, and therefore to no purpose do you seek for peace of heart in them. There never was, since the beginning of the world, and there never will be till the end of it, anyone who found perfect satisfaction and contentment in such things. No matter how abundantly one may be provided with them, there still remains a want which disturbs the peace of the heart. Achab was a great king in Israel. Was he contented in the midst of his riches and treasures? Hear what the scripture says of him. Angry and fretting, and casting himself upon his bed, he turned away his face to the wall and wouldn't eat no bread. What was the matter with him? What distressed him to such an extent? Naboth had a vineyard near the palace, and Achab wished to get possession of it in order to enrich his gardens, but failed to do so. that was the sole cause of his contentment. And was it worthwhile to trouble himself so much about it? Was a piece of ground that he wanted able to disturb his heart and cause him such worry that he was inconsolable? What an extraordinary thing for a king who received tribute from so many towns, who had so many magnificent palaces and buildings at his disposal, to be troubled because he could not get possession of a small piece of ground. So be it. Peace and quiet of heart do not consist in having an abundance of worldly goods and riches, but in being content even with a little. Aman, the favorite of King Assyrus, came home to his wife and dilated to the extent of his glory and honor. And he declared to them the greatness of his riches, and with how great glory the king had advanced him above all his princes and servants. Was he happy with all his honors? Not by any means. And whereas I have all these things, he said with bitterness of heart, I think I have nothing. What was wanting to him? Mordecai alone refused to honor him, and that caused him so much pain that all his riches could give him no pleasure. Ptolemy, king of Egypt, was once walking on the bank of the Nile when he saw some laborers who, after having eaten their poor meal, which consisted of bread and water, began to laugh and joke with each other. The king could not restrain his sighs and tears at seeing how happy these poor and lonely people were. "Ah, unhappy me," he exclaimed, "that I cannot be one of them. I too might enjoy myself if I were as contented as they." "And, O great king, wouldst thou wish to change with one of those poor workmen in order to enjoy thyself? Thou wearest the crown and scepter of a vast kingdom. Many countries are subject to thy sway. Many great lords wait on thee day and night. Palaces, gardens, well-furnished tables, and all imaginable delights are ready for thee at any moment." "True, but what good is that to me when my heart is not content?" And it is not content because the desire of possessing more kingdoms, the fear of my enemies, the doubtful fidelity of my servants, and unceasing cares leave me neither peace nor rest. Of what good to me, then, are all my riches, as long as there is no peace of quiet of heart for me? Those poor people there are 20 times happier with their piece of dry bread and their drink of cold water than I am with my treasures and my whole kingdom. Charles V, the great Roman emperor and king of Spain, makes the same confession with regard to himself. After having heroically despised the world so far as to abdicate his crown and retire into solitude, he acknowledged that the whole time while he was king and emperor, he never enjoyed a single quarter of an hour of true peace and contentment of heart, such as he did enjoy after having left the world. To put the matter briefly, was there ever a man in the world who had more of its riches, honors, and pleasures than Solomon? Gold and silver were to him like the stones on the street, as we read in the third book of Kings. And he made silver to be as plentiful in Jerusalem as stones. On account of his wonderful wisdom, kings and queens around the countries looked on him almost as a god. He himself describes the pleasures he enjoyed. "Whatever my eyes desired, I refused them not, and I withheld not my heart from enjoying every pleasure, and delighted itself in the things which I had prepared." But was he contented and happy with it all? Hear what he says of it. "I saw in all things vanity and vexation of mind." So true it is, my dear brethren, that all the exterior goods of the world, its honors, riches, and joys, are not capable of contenting or filling the human heart. It is useless, then, to seek for peace of heart in such things. Therefore, concludes St. Augustine, you must seek it in something better than all that the world can give or take away, in something better than yourself. And what will that be unless our Lord and God? There is only one good, and that is an infinite one which can satisfy your heart. So great is the dignity of the human heart, continues the saint, that no good except the supreme good can satisfy it. This good we can all possess, if we wish, by keeping our consciences in the state of grace and free from sin. If I have a good conscience, then God is mine, and with him I have all that I can wish or desire. And God is so permanently and constantly mine, that no angel in heaven, no devil in hell, no man on earth, no joy or sorrow can deprive me of him, unless with my own consent, and he is mine with the assurance that, if I only keep my conscience pure, I shall possess him for all eternity. O heart of man, what could content thee if this cannot? Away with your absurd ideas, children of the flesh and of the world. You know nothing of this happiness, for you have too little experience of it. It is only those souls who seek and love God alone who understand what I mean. What peace, pleasure, and joy it brings to the heart to have a good conscience, and to think, God is my friend, I am a friend and child of God. God pleases me and I please him. God wills what he knows to be best for me, and I will all that he wills. God takes care of me, and all I need trouble about is to keep my conscience pure. If all temporal riches, consolations, and pleasures are taken from me by adversity, if my own natural inclinations oppose me to my great distress, and put difficulties in my way, I shall still remain undisturbed and peaceful at heart, resigned to God's will, and I shall be as rich as before in the possession of the supreme good. If death comes and carries me off in this state, in which I mean to persevere, then it will translate me to that place where I can enjoy my beloved good for all eternity. So that, my dear brethren, if my conscience is like that, I have already attained that peace which the world cannot give, and in the midst of the turmoil and tumult of the world, can, with a smiling countenance, say with the prophet David, the light of thy countenance, O Lord, is shined upon me, and therefore thou hast given gladness to my heart. This joy of heart, this peace of a good conscience, is what I wish you, not only for the coming year, but for all the years of your lives, as I shall explain further in the second part. Peace be to you, reverent members of the clergy. All the duties to which we are bound by our holy state require us to possess this peace constantly in a good conscience. For our work is to be always occupied with God, either singing psalms in choir, or praising and blessing God at home in the divine office, or celebrating daily the holy sacrifice in which God is the food of our souls, and in which we offer Christ to the Eternal Father, or furthering the divine honor by our innocent lives, our instructions, and our edifying example. What better means could we have to secure the possession of the supreme good and of peace and contentment of heart? But who does not acknowledge that, for that very reason, we are bound to use the utmost care to keep our conscience pure? For, oh my God, what an abomination it would be, how could I have peace of heart if I take thy precious flesh and blood into my hands at the altar, if I look at them with my eyes, eat and drink them with my mouth, while my conscience reproaches me, saying, thy hands are soiled, thy eyes unclean, thy mouth a foul sepulchre, thou hast a grievous sin on thy conscience, thou hast lost thy God. How could I have peace and contentment if while I am praising God in my daily hymns and prayers, my conscience reproached me, saying, thy prayers and hymns do not please the Lord. Thou art an enemy of God. How could I have peace and contentment if, while I try by my instructions to deter others from vice and lead them on to good, my conscience cries out to me, thou thyself art not as thou shouldest be. Thou triest to lead others to heaven and followest the broad road to hell. O my God, preserve me from that. Let us often remember the offertory prayer. The priests offer bread and wine, and therefore they shall be holy to their God. If we try to acquire this holiness, we shall be able to enjoy peace of heart. Peace be with you, members of the laity. I acknowledge that your different duties and occupations often disturb your rest when you endeavor to perform them properly. All sorts of cares, plans, and considerations pass daily through your minds. Many of your undertakings come to naught. Frequently you are doomed to disappointment in the execution of some pet scheme. But all these disquieting influences are external. They cannot interfere with your peace of heart. What you should be especially careful of is this. Your duties give you many an opportunity of sullying your consciences by injustice, want of charity towards your neighbor, envy, hatred, and anger against your opponents, pride and contempt of your inferiors, acting unworldly policy through human respect, or culpable ignorance. If you allow yourselves to be deceived by the false maxims and principles of the perverse world, if you do not keep God before your eyes, oh, then it is all up with your consciences, with the friendship of God, with your peace of heart, and you will have nothing but strife and contention within and without. Therefore, whatever you do, see first of all that your consciences are in good order. Impress deeply on your minds this truth, that our only and supreme good is God, and God alone, whom we can possess by grace here and by vision in heaven. Ask yourself often, what doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his own soul? What will it help me to gain all the honors, riches, and pleasures of the world by my labor and diligence if I lose God, my supreme good, by sin? No, I will so manage matters as to keep peace with God and myself. So be it then. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, married people. The most necessary thing in your state is peace and harmony with each other. If that is wanting, oh, then your state is a bitter one, as hell is bad as it can be made on this earth. Ah, perhaps some are now thinking, that is what we have to complain of. That drunken, passionate husband has not a kind word or look for me. He can only curse and abuse. That vain, idle wife loses her time paying useless visits and allows the house to take care of itself. She spends more in dress than we can make in a year. The children are obstinate and disobedient. We cannot trust the servants. What we tell them to do, we must often do ourselves. How can we have peace and contentment under such circumstances? True, it is not an easy matter. But where do all these disorders come from? You are not at peace with God in your hearts. You have not a good conscience, which is in all things conformable to the will of God. If you only endeavor to keep in the friendship of God, the evils you complain of will soon be remedied. The husband will love his wife, according to the words of St. Paul, as Christ loves the church. The wife will obey her husband as her superior in all things that do not run counter to the divine law. Parents will bring up their children carefully for heaven. Children will love their parents and show them due honor. Masters and mistresses will give their servants good example. Servants will be ready to obey the least sign of their masters with respect and willingness. Men will bear one another's faults with meekness, and leave to God what they cannot change or amend, patiently and resignedly bearing it. They will share in each other's joys and sorrows, and therefore all will enjoy peace and contentment, on which so much depends. That is the peace I wish you with all my heart. Peace be with you, unmarried people. Many of you who are still in the bloom of youth seek peace, pleasure, and happiness in living according to the world, in dressing and adorning yourselves to please the eyes of others, in talking, amusing yourselves, going on parties of pleasure, dancing, and such things. But what a great mistake you are making! Seek what you are seeking, says St. Augustine, but there is no peace where you are looking for it. True peace of heart is to be found nowhere but in a pure conscience united with God. In the follies you seek, the conscience is often wounded. You yourselves must acknowledge, if your consciences are still tender and you have only desire of heaven left, that after having enjoyed those pleasures, either immediately afterwards or when you are going to confession, you have nothing from them but uneasiness, anxiety, bitterness of heart, not to speak of the loss of holy purity. Come, Christian sons and daughters, children of God, co-heirs with Jesus Christ, your hearts are created for far better things. It is God, and God alone, whom you should love. Him should you possess by sanctifying grace, and in him should you rejoice. Only try to please him. Clear out your hearts for him, and avoid with the utmost care all that could offend him in the least degree. Then you will be able to rejoice even in solitude, and to say with truth, I have found him whom my soul loveth. I possess God, and with him true peace and joy of heart. Peace be with you, widows and orphans. Death has deprived you of husband or parents, and you are left alone without help or consolation. Be comforted. If you only have your supreme good by pure conscience, you have something that death cannot deprive you of. And as long as God is your friend, what have you to fear, or what more can you desire? Think with the prophet David. My father and my mother have left me, but the Lord hath taken me up. My husband, my parents have left me, but God is my guardian, my provider, my helper, my father and mother. The Lord ruleth me, and I shall want nothing. What I am now about to say will, in all probability, concern the most of you too. Peace be with you, troubled and afflicted Christians. You are the number of those of whom Christ said to his disciples, You shall lament and weep, but the world shall rejoice. In poverty and misery, in pains and sickness, in persecution and oppression, in hard work and fatigue, in much want and suffering, you shall mingle your bread with your tears. All this is very hard and bitter to the natural inclination. I compassionate you, yet I cannot say that you are unhappy. But if in the midst of your trials you have not a good conscience and have lost your God, then I could shed tears of blood through pity for you. Then indeed you would be miserable in every way, abandoned by God and man, by heaven and earth, and not expecting any consolation or alleviation in your troubles, miserable in time, miserable in eternity. But if we have to suffer here a short time in accordance with the divine decrees, why do you not seek for some consolation in your trials, and that too the best of all, which you can find in your God by having a good conscience and keeping him as your friend? If you have him, then let the world go as it may. The best good is yours. In him alone you have more than enough to fill your hearts with peace and contentment, even in the bitterest sufferings, and to give you the joy of the children of God, as we shall see in a further sermon. For if it is God's will, I intend speaking on this subject for some months to come. Peace be with you, last of all sinners. For you and you alone this wish is most necessary, because, as you are in the state of sin, you have lost peace altogether. No doubt, unless you are hardened in wickedness, you will acknowledge the truth of the words of the prophet Jeremiah's, "Know thou and see that it is an evil and a bitter thing for thee to have left the Lord thy God, for who hath resisted him and hath had peace? Who would be contented and happy, knowing that God, who is present everywhere, is his enemy? No one. Come, then, delay no longer. Return by true penance and enjoy that peace which the merciful, though angry God offers you every moment. Then you will see and experience what a great difference there is between being a servant of God and a slave of the devil, and how sweet it is to enjoy peace of mind and a good conscience. Again, do I wish you all the peace of God which surpasseth all understanding. May it keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. May it remain with you all the years of your lives, until you enjoy it with the elect of God in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity. Peace be with you. Amen.